Hey, this is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, telling you to go above and Batman beyond.
Hey, this is Blade Summers telling you to go above and Batman beyond.
This is Bernard Chang.
Dan Jurgens.
This is Yoko McCann from Funko.
This is Zach from Diamond Select Toys.
This is Angelo cosplaying as Negan.
My name is Kevin, a Beyond fan, and I'm telling you to go above and Batman Beyond.
Like, three quarters of that movie, solid.
As far as Mr. Freeze goes, nice to meet you.
A live welcome from above and Batman Beyond. I am your co-host, Benjamin David. We are live here in the YouTube channel. What is up, Neo Gotham? And speaking of live, today's episode is another installment of our live action live series here in the channel where we talk all about DC news in live action. As you know, if you follow us, we focus mainly on animation here in the channel, but both Batman Beyond and DC animated movies. But anytime there's big news in DC live action, we now have a series just to cover that. And today's news is as big as it gets for live-action fans, because today, February 14th, Valentine's Day of all days, we finally got a trailer, or I should say, a color trailer, for the Snyder Cut, the long-awaited by many, controversial for many, indifferent to many, four-hour cut of Zack Snyder's vision for 2017's Justice League. And the Snyder Cut will be released on HBO Max March 18th, 2021. So today you'll get to hear my thoughts on the trailer and predictions, like a premonition, for the next live-action movie from DC Films Warner Brothers. Today's episode will also be available in audio podcast form, just like the YouTube channel we are above and Batman Beyond. So before we jump into it, if you're new here at the channel, please consider subscribing on YouTube, click that notification bell so you don't miss any of our new content. And for the podcast listeners, please subscribe to the pod. You could find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And for both the pod and YouTube audience, please subscribe to both, since there's plenty of YouTube stuff you're obviously not going to find in the podcast, and vice versa. Please also follow us on Instagram. We are at Batman Beyond Media, and we do frequent polls and Q&As on the Instagram, which we also bring into the YouTube and podcast shows, so be sure to follow us there as well.
This is Christopher Carter telling you to go above and Batman Beyond.
All right, guys, let's go. Live action live, baby. All right, let's see if anybody's up in the chat. Nobody yet. That's all right. We're still new here. We're still relatively new at going live, so that's all right. Now I got some notes here, and I'm also going to do kind of a breakdown live where I'll pause it and go back to it, and just so I have some reference as it's going, it being the Snyder Cut trailer. So the trailer dropped today, 2/14, February 14th, after several trailers of trailers or teasers of the trailer. Previously, we got the all black and white Hallelujah trailer, and then, so as you can tell, I've been pretty sarcastic from get about the Snyder Cut trailer, and sorry, I'm just making sure we're recording there on sound. Yes, we are. I want to give my positives first so that the sarcasm is completely clear here. I love Zack Snyder as a director insofar as his visuals. Film is a visual medium, right? So he's brilliant with visuals. This trailer is a prime example. I always say he should work on storyboarding for like every live action DC movie because he's that good at it. His Batfleck, visually incredible. You know, I looked at Affleck, I saw Batman. It was the first kind of jacked Batman that we ever really got in the suit. Of course, Christian Bale was in great shape, but he wasn't, you know, as bulked up. He wasn't as tall as Batman. He didn't really scare me. You know, like you looked at Batfleck, that guy was fucking scary. I really loved that version of it visually. His take on Dark Knight Returns, you know, all the visuals we got in BVS for Dark Knight Returns type stuff. The, you know, the metal suit at the end, and all, well, not at the end of Dark Knight Returns metal suit, but, you know, a lot of that stuff, and his, even visually, his Superman stuff, and I'm going to get to Man of Steel, like, I thought that the suit looked really cool. I thought he did amazing special effects. It was kind of the first time we really saw a Superman with really solid special effects, really solid action, and the Dawn of the Dead movie, I still haven't seen that, but I love Dawn of the Dead, the original. So I got to check that out. But I heard that's a great, like, even if you're not a fan of Snyder and stuff, generally, the Dawn of the Dead movie is great. 300, I thought, was a blast. Like, I love 300. Watchmen visually. Okay, so you could see that I'm giving the guy a lot of benefits of the doubt. I do see his brilliance in a lot of ways. Once again, film is a visual medium. Now, let's get to some truth here, some of my harsh reactions to it. And we'll start off with some jokes and rants of mine. Right before the trailer came out, so this was leading up to it with the trailers for trailers, the teasers of trailers. So I put it on Instagram. Many people don't know this, but the Snyder Cut's actually a two-hour movie. It's just billed as four, since the director can't stop using slow-mo. Look, again, I already listed what I think he's brilliant at, but come on, dude, like, enough with the slow-mo, and 4 hours? Like, so this is what I'm about, this rant I'm about to read. Again, I'm going to read some jokes and rants that I posted to Instagram. Who wrote this? His visuals are very indicative of traditional Greek mythology. Eli. Hell yeah. So that's Eli. What up, Eli, our co-host here on Above and Batman Beyond. His visuals are very indicative of traditional Greek mythology. I love that. Yeah, I mean, you know, these are, especially DC, not just superhero comics in general, Marvel as well, but way more DC, is kind of like you get the comic version of the gods. With Marvel, you get the common man, so Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Even with Fantastic Four, as fantastic as it is, it's a family. It's real life insight into a family, but through this, you know, accident of then turning into superheroes. With Peter Parker, you know, what it's like to be a teenager, have a girlfriend, have a family, you know, dealing with the grief of just losing someone. Whereas DC is like the gods. And it also, what's cool about it is that DC has, you know, from get been like, all right, we're going to give you, you know, pulp detective noir stories, you know, through Batman, but in this, through the lens of comics. We're going to give you science fiction and a Moses story through the lens of Superman. We're going to give you the Greek mythology, as Eli just mentioned, through Wonder Woman, but through comics. And that's kind of what we, you know, DC's always been, and that's why it tends to be more serious, more heavy. And look, I just said 300 was like probably one of my favorite Zack Snyder, if not my favorite Zack Snyder projects. And Greek mythology, perfect. Yeah, like his visuals are amazing. It's just that, so in this rant, this will help. So someone, when I posted that joke, which is, again, many people don't know this, but Snyder Cut's actually a two-hour movie. It's just billed as four, since the director can't stop using slow-mo. Several people laughed at that on the DC Collecticast Instagram. So the person who posted an LOL to that, I wrote back to them, and this is my rant that I didn't feel like doing this at first. It's not like I was like, I can't wait to rant about this. But I just kind of went off, and then I ended up posting it marked with why I feel okay making Snyder Cut jokes. Because I don't want people to just think, I've said this many times here in the channel, I don't post negativity just for the sake of negativity. However, I do insist on being honest about things when, you know, I'm reviewing stuff or people are looking for my honest reaction, and I don't want to just be positive about everything that I'm not feeling positive about. All right, so my rant. LOL, couldn't help myself. I truly do my best, as I just said, not to post negative content for the sake of negativity. But this whole Snyder Cut thing has been a cesspool of negativity since before it was barely even a hashtag, summer of 2017, which is actually summer of 2018. And I'm gonna actually qualify that cesspool of negativity, because someone else wrote to me on Instagram, and I'm gonna read what they said to me. I'm not gonna name who it was, but we had a slight debate and we disagreed, and guess what? That's okay.
I don't have to agree with that person, and that person doesn't have to agree with me, and guess what? We're still friends. Unlike most of culture right now, which apparently has no nuance, there's no such thing as fucking nuance anymore, and if you slightly disagree with people, you're completely evil, and I'm talking both sides. This even gets into politics. I'm not going to get into specifics with politics, but like, why can't people just not like a thing? Isn't that okay? You know, the proponents of the Snyder Cut are like, oh, haters, look at this new trailer. Why does it have to be, oh, haters, look at the new trailer? And this is why I just kind of get shitty. And then I'm going to give a specific story that follows up with my rant here. First, let's see if anyone else in YouTube has chimed in. Not yet. All right. So again, I couldn't help myself. I truly do my best not to post negative content for the sake of negativity. But this whole Snyder Cut thing has been a cesspool of negativity since before it was barely even a hashtag. Summer 2018. I actually stopped, and this is true, I actually stopped writing for a DC site at one point back then because I got caught in the middle of these man children saying they were, quote, wronged, and all of this hyperbolic BS. And again, this was both sides of the argument. Like, these guys were, it was insane. Not saying the Justice League, I'm not saying, you know, Joss Whedon's Justice League was good. It's a dumpster fire. But 4 years later, it's still like they haven't gotten what they've wanted, even though they have. Like, you've gotten what you wanted if you're a proponent of the Snyder Cut. And if you aren't a proponent of it, it's okay that it's coming out. Like, chill out. And $70 million later, we get a four-hour cut. So this is where I'm just, when I heard the four-hour news, if they had never released that information, I would watch this trailer with a lot more positivity. I'm not going to lie. But this is where I just, 4 hours, like, I don't care what movie it is, 4 hours. That is, and this is back to my rant here, that's not a movie. That's an assembly of footage. So now I just can't wait for the man children to continue complaining or act like a 4 hour music video is still a movie. That was harsh, okay? It was harsh, I admit it. And maybe I'm part of the problem here, but I can't help but think it's reactionary to 4 years of this thing. Like, you know, and not even the Snyder Cut necessarily. Again, some of this goes into politics, not that I'm going to go into specifics of politics, of course, but like, even with HBO Max when it first came out, there were so many haters about it. I was about to start YouTubing and podcasting about Star Wars again, because I'm like, dude, if there's this many people in the DC camp who are getting this shitty about a streaming service, that they'd be like, you don't have all four Batman movies posted to it. And then literally that night, like, two more of the Batman movies would get posted to it. Like, HBO Max had just come out, and people are just all over it. I just don't understand this immediate jump to getting shitty about new stuff and, like, stuff you don't like. So this is what a good friend of mine, and again, I'm not saying anything bad about him, but I don't know if he necessarily wants me to shout him out here, because there's so much controversy around a friggin' Batman movie or a Justice League movie. Him reacting to what I said about, because again, I then posted that DM, my rant DM, to Instagram, to DC Collecticast and Batman Beyond Media. And I said why I feel okay making Snyder Cut jokes is I do have this personal experience with these people. I mean, it was so bad writing for that one site. And again, I'm not going to shout out the site either, but like, I was quoting directly another website that the website I was writing for disagreed with. Like, they had some previous beef over something, some nerd beef. And he was like, and so when I read my piece after it was published, I was like, hey, I think you left out my citation of that other website. And he goes, I'm not going to cite that website. And I go, so then you're going to leave it in as plagiarism because you have a beef with this person over the Snyder Cut? Like, and it wasn't just the Snyder Cut, but this is just another example of, like, I can't, this man-children business is just out of control. I mean, I'm a dude who, look, I'm going to show you so you believe me that I am visually a fan of BVS, all right? I got Batfleck, here's my Funko Pop for the audio listeners. Here's the old Mattel fig back in 2016, 2017. I don't hate just for the idea of hating. So, I'm sorry. But, like, what I was saying before of, like, I'm a man child too, to an extent. But this, infighting is just so so my friend on Instagram goes, you say that, but few cesspools of negativity, and he quoted me, make over $500,000 for charity. And he shrugged. That's true. Like, they did, and I think it was for suicide prevention, if I'm not mistaken. And, like, that's great. Like, I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm absolutely happy that that happened. So I wrote back, good point. Glad they did that. Then my rebuttal, though, is doesn't change all the unnecessary infighting among DC fans for the past few years, though. So then my friend replied, and this is okay. Again, we disagreed, still friends. For sure, there are some bad eggs as always. Problem is, these small numbers of bad eggs have a very loud voice, which ruins it for the majority, which is a big shame. Great point. Like, for me, obviously, I'm not a big fan of even this trailer. We're going to talk about it. But, like, and the fact that it's 4 hours, I can't get over that. But, like, that opened my eyes. Yeah, there's probably more Snyder Cut fans, even the ones who petitioned for it, even the ones who were hashtagging the hell out of it. I'm sure there were plenty of them that weren't negative, or that weren't, let's say, toxic. But, like, the toxic people really ruined it. They are the loudest voices, and that's a really good point, and I didn't consider that before. So I go, agreed. Believe me, I don't think most people who want this cut are toxic. I want to see his version too, his being Zach. But as you said, the loudest of voices have turned this thing to an almost political slash religious issue among fans, so that's ruined the hashtag for me. So saying, quote, nothing but a cesspool is probably harsh. So I admit it, like, it was probably a little too harsh. It wasn't nothing but a cesspool of negativity. There's some positivity around it. But it's definitely how it's been perceived due to the bad eggs. My friend replied, yeah, absolutely, man. Everyone is incredibly tribal too these days, and have this with us or against us attitude, which is mad. It is mad. It's crazy. Like, why can't I just not like a movie and not be, you know, like when I was writing for that site, these people were like, it's not a good enough reason to not like BVS just because Batman's killing people. It's like, yeah, it is. For some people, like, that is. I know I just said you shouldn't get religious about this kind of thing, but, like, let's call it the mythology, not the religion of Batman, but, like, a big part of the Batman mythology. Most of the mythology of Batman, he doesn't kill. Sure, there's versions of it where he does. I just did a whole review and, you know, kiss the ass of Batman Soul of the Dragon. He kills people in that. Not a lot. His body count's not even close to BVS or, you know, like, the Burton films or anything. But, like, and I defended that for its own reasons. One being he was young. It's an Elseworlds. It's a very kind of different, small, niche animated movie. I would say for BVS, it's like, this is Bat God. This is the ultimate Batman. And we're finally getting to see it for the first time. And he is just mowing people down left and right. That's one example. Like, sorry, that is a good enough reason not to like the movie. But apparently that's not good enough for some people. So I just don't. So I go, so true. And to that exact point, and to be totally clear, this is me again responding. It wasn't just the pro Snyder Cut people that prompted me to leave that site. It was just as much the reactions to people against it. I just couldn't be around that kind of black and white approach, LOL. And he goes, definitely, man. People love to sit in camp and then defend it for their life. It's maddening. I really do think it's just like people don't believe in nuance anymore. They have to, you know, it's like whatever people are like religious slash political slash sports fans about a fucking Justice League movie. It's crazy here. So we're going to get into specifics in a minute. But again, some of my particular negatives here. Again, this movie's 4 hours long. I can't fathom how this thing is 4 hours long, especially when it's like this guy's had all this time. He got $70 million to make his cut. Like, I could see if they rushed it and it was like, all right, here's a bunch of footage. I don't feel like editing it. I don't have time to edit. I don't have the money to edit. You got to pay editors. Like, that takes time. Color correction. A whole ton of shit. Believe me. Like, I get it. But you got $70 million. You got time for reshoots. That, to me, is like, how the hell is it 4 hours? The answer is because he knew it was going to be on HBO Max, I think that's it. It's just like, oh, well, it's going to be streaming, so. At some point, too, I'll also go back to real quick positives about the four-hour thing, even giving 4 hours a break. Let's say you give us the 4-hour Snyder Cut. At one point, they said, and this was like confirmed, that it was going to be broken up into 4 one-hour episodes on HBO Max. Perfect. Like, especially for a director, once again, who, in my opinion, like, I thought BVS, I don't know if I said this, but BVS is way too long. Watchmen, way too long. Man of Steel, I even thought, way too long. But, like, look, if you break it up into kind of chapters, I'm good. Like, I don't care. Then I'll watch an hour of it, turn it off, and come back to it. You know, I heard somebody in a podcast say it perfectly. I just watched, because he was criticizing the length of, oh, sorry. So at one point it was 4 hours, and then it was, or sorry, 4 one-hour episodes on HBO Max. I was cool with that. Then it was back to 4 hours in one shot. Like, again, that's not a movie. That's 4 hours of just footage. Like, I guess you could call it a movie, but it, like, even with intermissions, you know, you have, like, when Tarantino did recently his most, or not his second most recent movie, Hateful Eight, it was almost 3 hours, that movie. He did an intermission. Like, if you saw the 70mm cut of Hateful Eight in the theaters, it had an intermission, because he's like, I realize this movie's 2 hours and 48 minutes, and I believe the director's cut's even longer, almost 3 hours. So he's like, look, sit there for a feature length amount of time, take a break, take a piss, come back, finish the movie. This is, I just think that it should be, I know it's not going to be released in theaters, so you might be like, and maybe it is, maybe this is an official, maybe this is an artificial criticism because it's not going to be in movies. Maybe I should just shut up about it, because it's like, it is going to be on your TV at home. You can pause it whenever. I've heard a lot of people say that. But like, the fact is, it's one unit of story. And I heard somebody in a podcast word it perfectly, and he was like, I just want it to be, because again, he's criticizing it, and he goes like, Cobra Kai, I just watched 5 straight hours, because I think it's 10 episodes, half-hour episodes, and he's like, I watched the whole thing, and I did personally too, I banged the whole season out. It's 5 or 6 hours total, but he's like, I just want it to be broken up as it relates to the narrative. I just thought that was a perfect explanation. Like, that's exactly how I feel about it. If you just give it to me in units, even if you don't, again, like, have, you know, episodic television and Cobra Kai has cliffhangers and then it drops off, and you have to end episodes in a certain way and come back in a certain way. I get that. But you also don't have to, like, with this, I'm giving it the break of saying, just chop it off. Like, the old, you know, what was it? I forget what super long movies there were back in the day, but you'd get 2 VHS tapes because they couldn't fit on one. And at some point, you're stopping the movie and putting in the new tape, and that's fine. I just, 4 hours, dude. So that's my thing on the 4 hours. Also negatives. Like, again, I wasn't a fan of BVS or Man of Steel. So I'm not being negative just for the sake of negativity. If it was Zack Snyder's first shot at, if it was Zack Snyder's first shot at DC, I would give this a break. You can't base everything on a trailer. You can't even base everything on necessarily, let's say, 300, even though that was a comic book. Like, it still is. Wait, what was I saying? Sorry, somebody chimed in on chat. I'm going to get to you in just a second. I don't know. I've seen his take on DC, and I'm not a big fan of it. I don't think Superman should be as surly and unhappy as he is. Like, Superman should give me a sense of hope. What fucking hope does Man of Steel have in BVS? Like, does he smile in any of these movies? Not my Superman. I'm not much of a Superman guy, so take that criticism for what it is. But even the Batman, like, he's killing people left and right. He's branding people. I don't know. So, at Comic Collectors Guild, Titanic was 3 hours and 30 minutes. If people could sit through that in a movie theater at home, people should be better. Sup, bro? Sup, man? Sure, Titanic was 3 hours and 30 minutes. But James Cameron is, again, as it relates to the narrative, if you want to give me 3 hours and 30 minutes, first of all, that's still 30 minutes less than 4 hours. I also guarantee that people probably got up and took a piss during Titanic and missed it because of that. I don't know any human bladder that's going to last 3 hours and 30 minutes. And if it did, like, I know I just saw Endgame, and that was 3 hours straight. And not I just saw Endgame, but or no, what was it? Yeah, Endgame. Last year or 2 years ago, and like, way too, like, you should have done an intermission. My bladder was exploding. And, you know, sure, Titanic, but James Cameron is way better at telling a 3.5-hour story. Again, it's as the unit of storytelling relates to the narrative. I almost guarantee, I haven't seen this movie, so whatever, but like I almost guarantee that this movie's going to, you're going to feel 4 hours in this. And I'm sorry, but like the fact that you're watching it at home, like, shouldn't be some kind of excuse for the running time. And this is what pissed me off about, like, Martin Scorsese recently, one of my heroes, cinematic heroes, cultural heroes. All his hate about Marvel and, like, modern storytelling. And, you know, he's in this camp of, like, hating on how modern movies and entertainment is made. And then the dude puts a movie out on Netflix and makes it 3.5 hours, his longest movie ever by far. And you could have easily taken, like, an hour out of that movie, The Irishman. But he knew it was going to be on Netflix, and he knew people were going to pause it, so he just left the whole thing in at 3.5 hours. That, to me, is just, that's laziness. Like, get an editor. And here's my thing. This is the last thing I'll say about the 4 hours. I look at all of this as art, right? I mean, especially Zack Snyder. He is an artist. Like, he makes beautiful shit. The negative space, like, this is going to get philosophical here, but, like, the negative space of, let's say, sculpture. It matters just as much what you take out of it, and that's what makes the form what it is. I'm sorry, like, a 4 hours straight of cool visuals, and by the way, you know there's going to be just, you can't only fill it with cool visuals, because there's going to have to be a ton of talking and a ton of, like, BVS, there are chapters of that movie where it's, like, bunch of talking, bunch of stuff going on. Maybe that won't happen in this. I don't know. It is too long. Like, you need to take out some of that to make it a cohesive unit of, oh, sorry. So a film is both visuals and story. Like, there's scripts for a reason. And I don't trust this guy based on what I've seen of his specifically DC work, that he's going to keep my interest for 4 hours. And I'm sorry, the fact that it's at home, that's just another excuse. Like, this $130 to $200 mother box of food that they're selling people for it's because they know that there's no fucking way you're sitting there for 4 hours without eating, without getting up, without doing this and that. And, like, if you're eating during a movie and you're going to buy something to eat during a movie, like, here's another pet peeve, but I'm sorry, if you're putting that much effort into eating, especially, like, popcorn, whatever the fuck it is, chill out, dude. Like, are you here to watch a movie or pig out? And, like, I just can't stand that amount of emphasis on stuff that's not the movie. Like, I go to a movie, I get a water, and I watch the movie. People opening up fucking plastic and shoving popcorn in their mouth and chewing with their mouth open, even the thing with the phone, like, food aside. Why did you come to the movies if you're going to sit on your phone? And watch the thing at home if it's not. And I don't know. I just think whatever Snyder Cut, the final thing I'll say, again, about running time, whatever the Snyder Cut, you know, should be at home is what it should have been in the theaters. Maybe that's a false criticism, and maybe, you know, like a Comic Collector Guild said, it's, if people could sit through it in a theater and at home, people should be better. So I get it. And he also says, Comic Collectors Guild says, I believe if Snyder was going to do this whole vision, they could have made JL2 and JL3 to make the entire story, like how Avengers did. It's a shame DC always makes mega mistakes. So that's a really good point. I probably should have brought this up. I'm pretty sure this 4 hour thing is also because of they, if not two and three, like there was originally Zack Snyder's vision for it was JL1 and JL2. It was a 2-part story. Boom. Like, but because it was taken away from him, and we now know for not good reasons, and I don't want to get into them, but like it, if he had gotten his original shot at it and just did, even if it wasn't like a unit of storytelling where it's like you leave us with a cliffhanger at the end of hour two and then we return with hour three, even though they were literally just like end of hour two, come back in a year, 6 months, and give us, you know, hour three and hour four, like the way they did with the Dark Knight Returns animated movie, I would have been totally fine with that. It's just, to me, again, it's unit of storytelling as it relates to the narrative via running time. So that's my big beef with 4 hours. All right, so let me go through a live breakdown of this, and I'll go through it kind of beat by beat. Hopefully, I won't get kicked off here for the audio, but I tried to find Zack Snyder or a Snyder Cut trailer with the running, or sorry, with subtitles, and I can't find one, so we'll see. All right, so it opens up, you know, Superman's, again, gorgeous visuals. Like, he looks in pain, he looks like he's getting sucked up. Very messianic, very, as Eli said in the beginning, Greek mythology, in Superman's case, very Moses related, right? He's very much a Moses character. The last of his people put into, you know, a vessel and sent off somewhere, and then he becomes the savior. And look, Zack Snyder draws the shit out of Superman. This is a great opening to a trailer. Oops, I really mean Warner Brothers, not DC, screwing up. Oh yeah, I see what you mean. So he said, like how Avengers did it, it's a shame DC is always making mega mistakes. He meant to say Comic Collectors Guild, Warner Brothers. Yeah, I think that Warner's is, I think now that they are embracing the idea that they should have embraced from get, which is the multiverse, I think now it's going to get a lot better. And just after years and years of criticism, I think they're done with probably eating that amount of criticism and just realizing, like, let's not try to do a universe. Let's not try to do what Marvel's doing. Let's do our own thing. I think that's a really good point. You know, it's not DC. It's not. In fact, I went to a panel, and I'll get back to the trailer in just a second, but I went to a panel for the Batman Bad Blood movie. And I confirmed, literally, I asked Jay Oliva, who interestingly did, I'm almost positive, storyboards for BVS. And this was like a month or 2 months before BVS came out in 2016. And I'm at this animated movie panel, and I'm like, why don't they involve you guys more in the movies? Because at that point, again, we had just gotten, I guess, Man of Steel. And I was kind of not, again, impressed with Man of Steel personally. I didn't think it was bad, but just like, I thought universe-wise, like, you know, WB Animation is killing it, or just movie-wise. I think those movies tend to be way stronger, hence my DC animated movie show here in the channel. And I'm like, why? Point is, I asked directly, why don't they, or I should say, do they, you know, involve you guys, like animation and live action? He's like, they literally, there is zero crossover in terms of mostly the talent, and I guess Jay Oliva's an exception because he was kind of working on both, but it's not like live action ever consults with animation or vice versa. Why? I have no idea. And it's the same criticism of like, why aren't you getting Paul Dini, you know, Bruce Timm and Alan Burnett in on these things? It's a great question, and I didn't quite get the answer, because the only definitive answer I got was, it's not like they're across the hall. It's not like animation and live action at Warner's in Burbank, unfortunately, this is how it should be, I think, are like eating lunch together in the same cafeteria. They don't go to the same high school. It's very different divisions. There's WB Animation and then films, so whatever. I think now it's DC Films.
Hey, this is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman.
Hi, I'm Benjamin David. Welcome to the DC Animated Movie Show, a podcast and YouTube series for the prestigious, ongoing catalog of DC Animated Movies. I'm a filmmaker, journalist, and podcaster, and I've been covering DC Animation for years now.
Hey, this is Kevin Conroy,
interviewing creators, voice actors, and superfans on my other podcast and YouTube channel, Above and Batman Beyond.
We give you Andrea Romano.
Hi.
So on this podcast, you can expect weekly episodes of DC Animated news, reviews, commentary tracks, Instagram Q&A, and our 10-minute or less audio-video bite series from our YouTube channel. Once again, that's
Above and Batman Beyond.
Most episodes will be hosted solo by me, Benjamin David, but for commentary tracks and interviews soon to come, I'll be joined by various creators and superfans once again from DC Animation. New episodes of the podcast drop every Monday, so be sure to subscribe to the podcast for a big holiday premiere. You can find the DC Animated Movie Show on Apple, Spotify, the Anchor app, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram to join in on the Q&A. Just like the podcast, we are at DC Animated Movie Show, and we'll also be dropping bonus episodes pretty soon, going behind the scenes of our YouTube channel, as well as our past DC Animated coverage from New York Comic Con. So this has been Benjamin David, and remember, animated we stand.
All right, so back to the trailer. Gorgeous opening with Superman here. Oh, such serious music. This is where visually great. Then we jump into, and I'm going to pause this throughout, but why are you doing a voiceover with Jesse Eisenberg? Like, who liked that? Who liked his Lex Luthor? I know some people did. I'm not trying to say like nobody did. Nobody. But I'll say this, like, a lot of the people who loved BVS, they still could have done without Jesse Eisenberg, if not disliked Jesse Eisenberg. He was playing it so big. He was just, I don't know. Point is, I think he's probably the most controversial character out of a group of very controversial movies. And you have him doing the voiceover of this, and it's just more of the same for me. More of this, listen to how dramatic I can be, because I'm doing Jim Carrey's Riddler. I don't know, it's way too much. Among the stars. And just this really cryptic, like, I mean, it's cool dialogue, I guess, but I had a dream. So we're now back to the, I'm appreciating this. Comic Collectors Guild, not the right person for Lex. Totally agreed. Look, conceptually, I don't mind long hair. I don't mind a social network, especially the guy who was, when they first cast Jesse Eisenberg, I was like, oh, sick. Like, in a positive way. I'm like, oh, like they're going to do Social Network, you know, tech billionaire, but young. And a tech billionaire of 2016, that movie came out, would be, you know, your Facebook creator, your Mark Zuckerberg type. And I was like, all about that. I even make him antisocial to an extent. But, like, Lex Luthor, man, this guy should be, even if he is antisocial, like, he's got to be way more eloquent and smooth to an extent. And, like, it just, this guy, yeah, like, comic collector, not the right person for Lex. And not the right, even if it was the right person, not the right direction that they took with him. So, I'm actually glad this is now the nightmare sequence that goes back to BVS. This I'm very happy about because that was confusing as hell in BVS because there was never any kind of payoff for it, which made, I know a lot of people criticized the Justice League for that because Joss Whedon never paid it off. Like Justice League was the follow-up to BVS and should have tied up a lot of the loose ends that we saw in that. And that's what pissed me off about BVS was like, and what kind of still does, like, even with this, I'm glad they're paying it off, but it made no sense in the middle of that movie. Like, zero. Even if you knew who Darkseid was, like, there was no, I don't even think they said the word Darkseid in that whole fucking movie. So the idea that, you know, I was teaching middle school at the time, and I had my students go, well, that's the symbol of Darkseid. And I'm like, listen, it, first of all, it's Dark Side. And second of all, the only reason you know any of that is because you went on YouTube to find that out. And again, even if you knew who the symbol of Dark Side was, like, I shouldn't have to go on YouTube. And it's kind of like what was happening with the WandaVision show until like two to three episodes ago. Even if you knew every single thing there is to know about Marvel Comics, like, they literally weren't giving us enough to know what was going on. So, without sarcasm, I'm glad that Marvel comic fan boys and girls like got to speculate like crazy and had fun doing that. Truly, I was. They still had no idea what was going on because the adapted narrative was not telling them. Like, that bothered the hell out of me. So I'm glad we're getting payoff here with this K-Nightmare sequence. Dun, 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 dun. All right, so now we see, you know, Batman's like, I had a vision, like a premonition. It's one thing to have a vision. How do you know it's a premonition until the thing happens, right? It would be one thing if he's saying this, like, Darkseid gets here, so he's like, all right, looking back, that was a premonition. I don't know, this is nitpicky language bullshit semantics maybe, but, like, me being a language nerd, but sorry, you don't know that's a premonition. It was a nightmare that you had. It was a K-nightmare. Like, let's be real. Now we get to the visuals of Darkseid, as my middle schooler is called. Like, Apocalypse? I'm guessing that's what this is. You know, it's like Darkseid's the ruler here. It looks like Granny Goodness behind him, as well as who is probably Desaad, and like that doesn't to me look, it looks like Darkseid, but first we see Wonder Woman, like, who sees the cave painting of Darkseid, and then we see Darkseid on what looks like Apocalypse, and what I'm assuming is Apocalypse. That looks very primal. It looks like medieval. I know it's a new god, but it's new gods. And Apocalypse is a giant industrial flaming ball of hell, but it's new gods. It's technological. It's computer-based. It's, that's why the Mother Box and Cyborg and all this shit connects beautifully with kind of a new generation of DC and what Jack Kirby specifically created the character of the new gods and new Genesis and all this shit of, like, or I should say Apocalypse, of kind of a response to, you know, it's cool because you get Trigon, right? You have like the devil as we know him and all the primal magic medieval level shit with DC, but then you also get the new gods. And it was kind of this, I think the early 70s that the new gods and stuff were invented, but Jack Kirby created them, and don't quote me on that, but 60s, 70s definitely. And like, it's a new age of thinking. Like, a lot of people in the 60s and 70s were moving away from standard Judeo-Christian stuff and kind of moving away from superstition and older religions and older gods. So you get a new god. This to me looks like what an old god would look like if I didn't know who Darkseid was. My liege. Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf looks way more badass than this. I like it a lot. He looks way less CG. That kind of liquid metal looking shit that he did in very Art Deco-y, which I worshipped in the beginning of Man of Steel. At that point, like, when he left, the second we see, like, the actual Superman story begin, I was like, man, Zack Snyder should have just left his... He should have just stayed on Krypton, because I think he did such a good job. Like, I would have much preferred Zack Snyder's vision of the day that led up to him putting, you know, baby Kal-El in the rocket, because I love the aesthetics of fucking Krypton. They were gorgeous. All that Art Deco-y looking, like, tech meets old metal, liquid metal. It was absolutely gorgeous. Comic Collectors Guild on chat says, they tried to make Darkseid look good, but it still is a fail. The more comic accurate one looks, more menacing. Absolutely it does. And this is a thing where it's like, this is very confusing to me, because Zack Snyder visually is like, this is a really good point. So I didn't even think about this until you just said that, because like, what was wrong with that original design? Darkseid is Darkseid. Like, that Darkseid is, that's it. Like, that's literally a quote from the mythology of DC, because that's how badass that motherfucker is. Like, he is the big bad of the DC universe. And next to Trigon, you know what I mean? That's why Apocalypse War was so badass, that the two of them battle at the end of that. Of like, we're going to end this Dekamu universe with Trigon v, like, old gods v new gods. How fucking badass was that fight? Or just the idea of that fight. What was wrong with the design of Darkseid? That is one of those badass, like, Jack Kirby circuits. Like, my tattoo right here. This is all based on, like, that Batman Beyond adaptation of taking those 60s mid-century circuitry and technology, and just writ large would have been so badass, specifically for bringing into this, like, Zack Snyder of all people. Again, I loved his fucking design of Batman. I loved his design of Superman. It all looks amazing. Wonder Woman looked absolutely incredible, and even BVS. And he produced, I think, the Wonder Woman movies, based on, again, that design that I'm sure he had a big part in. Why did he change Darkseid so dramatically? Like, that makes absolutely no sense to me. And I really thought we had gotten, like, visuals of it, I believe, even before the Snyder Cut was, like, officially announced. People were kind of shitting on it. And I was like, look, we might not even get this movie. Don't quote me on this. But at one point, I was like, there was a time where we didn't know for sure, and I'm pretty sure there were images of Darkseid out there. Or even if we did know we were getting it, I was like, give him a break. Like, we don't know yet. Again, I try to give stuff a chance. Sorry for doing that. This just looks like, again, it's like if this guy, that looked like a shot of Game of Thrones. If there was some giant zombie-esque, like, not zombie, but I don't know, some giant supernatural guy made of, like, rock That to me looks absolutely nothing. It looks like Darkseid's old god cousin, let's say. That looks like Darkseid and Trigon had a baby.
I need warriors.
So this is a beef I had. Bruce Wayne, out of the suit, back in that scene from the Justice League. I know it's not from the Justice League, but because some of Joss Whedon's Justice League made it, or sorry, some of Zack Snyder's Justice League made its way into the Justice League. And like, I was not a fan of that scene. The fact that Bruce Wayne, out of the suit, for whatever reason, like, why not give us a snow variant suit? Like, why not? He's in this cold Aquaman, you know, seaside town or whatever. Like, give him a snow bat suit. That would have been badass as hell. Whatever. Or an aqua bat suit that's, you know, got the wetsuit built into it. That would have been fucking sick. Instead, we have Bruce Wayne on a horse, out of the suit, talking to like 30 people. Like, we need warriors. So he's basically just like, I am Batman. Look at me without the suit. And that never gets acknowledged. Why is Batman, of all people, just giving away his identity like it's no big deal and that never gets addressed? I don't know. I haven't seen this movie yet, but that looks like that same shot. I mean, I'll rewind it to see if...
My lord. This world will fall.
At first I thought he was saying, oh, it's this world will fall. I thought he was saying, this is World War IV. I was like, bitch, when was World War III?
I need warriors.
Yeah, I just looked at that scene again. That is, he's got like 30 people behind him in that seaside town bar thing. Come on, bro. I need warriors. This is where the storytelling stuff, that makes absolutely no sense to me. Like, where I don't think Zack Snyder cares a ton about the mythology of these characters, he just kind of cares what they look like. I think he cares, it's just, I don't know, you know what I'm saying. This underwater Aquaman shit v. Steppenwolf, bring it. Like, I have full confidence that the Aquaman stuff is going to look absolutely incredible via Zack Snyder. I'm very excited for that. In BVS, when we got the YouTube clips of him and Cyborg and the Flash, that made absolutely no sense to me. Like, why not? If it's Dawn of Justice, give us a full clip of your amazing interpretation of Aquaman. But instead, we got YouTube clips. That looked awesome. The Flash, don't even get me started. This guy doesn't... I don't like the suit. I think it's going to look better. We're not going to get that Nordic track. You know, for those in audio, I'm doing the Nordic track thing of the Flash running, Barry Allen Flash running with his arms way out, and it was the most unnatural looking. I don't care if he's in the Speed Force. It was the worst Flash running I've ever seen in my life. I think that got so much criticism that like Zack Snyder's gonna do a way better job, and already I can see that the Speed Force stuff looks better. But like, that suit sucks. I hate how metal-y it is. Like, why not just give him a... I can't stand the suit.
Art of Dream.
Sorry, I already did this. Yeah. Sorry. So back to the Flash. So Cyborg, that looked pretty sick. Like, whatever Cyborg was doing with that gun that came out of his shoulder, that looked fucking badass. So these are the lines that, like, it seems not well written. Like, this is where I'm just skeptical of kind of the writing here. I was about to say Jeremy Adams. He wrote the Batman Soul of the Dragon movie. Jeremy Irons, he, you know, as Alfred, is like, how do you know your team's strong enough? Don't wave the red cape at the bull unless your team can handle it. What was the line? If you can't bring down the charging bull, don't wave the red cape at it. That is... okay, I don't know. Maybe I gotta see it in context, but like... I think they think that these lines are like way pithier than they are. Like, they're way more impactful than they are. I wouldn't have chosen... my biggest criticisms of this trailer is I know that this movie visually, once again, is gonna be fucking stunning. And they could have picked way better scenes and way better lines, because even as kind of cheesy as some of these are, and don't include Jesse Eisenberg. I already mentioned that. Don't even get me started with that. But like, don't wave the red cape at it. I get it. It's the red cape of Superman, but that is just cheese among cheese, dude. Oh. This is so dramatic. This is one of the things I do love about like the Zack Snyder. It's so 300. Like, it's so Zack fucking Snyder. In a good way. Like, honestly, I love how heavy his versions of these things are. I personally would never take DC that seriously, but it's... I like the Iris West stuff. It's cool written Iris West. I like... You know, Ezra Miller, I think, is a decent actor. I think that was cool seeing him out of the suit saving Iris West. I don't like that suit at all, but...
Bring down the charging bull.
We got... And, like... Aquaman shot sick when he's holding back that water. Like, bring that, whatever is going on there. The slow-mo, once again, is how much fucking slow-mo are we going to get in this? He, you know, Zack Snyder came up through music videos, and I made that joke before, like, that is, like, it's a four-hour music video is what this is going to be. And that's cool, like, you know, get fucked up and watch 4 hours of a gorgeous DC music video. I'm all about it. That is not a movie, and I'm sorry. But anyway, I think the slow motion thing is still going. If that's your thing, this is... gonna be a lot of that, and hey, if you're into it, you're into it. Why, if we're getting the black Death of Superman suit, where's the mullet, son? All right, this is a stupid criticism, but honestly, where's the mullet? Like, I love the idea that, you know, he was his hair would have maybe grown out. I don't know, there's no bio would have. He's a fucking alien. We have no idea what his hair biology does, but that's a good idea. It's like he's been gone for a while. His hair grows out. I recently watched, Superman Doomsday, the animated movie. And like they did the mullet there. And I love the mullet. Like, why not do the mullet, man? It makes him look different. I know it's 2020. No one has mullets anymore. But come on, man. Like, if you're going to adapt this stuff straight up, which we're about to get to. Of course, you gotta have Superman with the shirt off, and damn, Henry Cavill, like, I will never look like that with my shirt off, so go for it. Get it. The movement of Superman again. We've really never gotten beside Man of Steel, like, beside who I just should say Zack Snyder is Superman. Him, like, shooting up into the air and flying, his speed, he does an amazing job with the movement of Superman, so I really. So, the Dark Knight Returns tank. Like, look, I know that there's positives and negatives, and I'll list them both right now, is that, like, I'm just happy we're going to see that. Because I think you understand what my negative criticism is going to be. I don't think it's going to be written into the story very well, because personally, I don't think this is... Maybe it will. Who knows? I want it to be good, but... My skepticism is like it's been with a lot of these. And I didn't even mention. So trailers for DC, like the BVS trailer. I like the BVS trailer better than like BVS. Because it was basically the one greatest scene, as everyone admits, is the Martha warehouse scene. The Martha rescue scene. Not Martha, but like Martha getting rescued. You know what I'm talking about. That's how you sell a fucking movie. Like, give us the best of the best. And that's what I think this trailer is kind of like. In one of my texts to a friend, and I'll read it now, this speaks to what I'm about to say. I said, speaking of the Dark Knight Returns mobile, I'm like, you know, that's cool that we got the Dark Knight Returns mobile, but we've gotten direct ripped from Dark Knight Returns in BVS, and when I, you know, tell me, do you bleed? And that was like the first teaser, the tell me, do you bleed teaser. Fucking bring it, because we hadn't seen that movie yet, and we hadn't even got the Martha rescue trailer yet. That teaser was amazing. You're like, oh my god, you're giving us, like, even if it's not the Dark Knight Returns, you know, writ large, it's still a version of it with the metal suit. It looked amazing. But point is, I've been robbed before. I personally felt robbed, because it's like you're giving us Dark Knight Returns, and then the movie just dragged. Even though that fight scene was amazing, That whole fight scene in the metal suit was incredible. It's just the movie. So to me, it was like, I have been burned before. Still, dude, I'm very excited to see what the hell he does with it. I demand two things from the Dark Knight Returns mobile. One, you got to have the gyroscopic bed. I just love that idea that if he gets fucked up in a fight, he has this medical bed that does that. The other thing is you have to. If you're going to give me that, that exterior, which is very faithful to Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns bat tank, you've got to give me the Beyond shot, the Beyond-esque shot. I should say Beyond, probably based it on Frank Miller, of that just gorgeous, like, future, you know, with all the stripes and shit above him. It looks very much like the Batman Beyond in the Batmobile. That shot of him just, you know, encircled with all the tech of the interior of that Batmobile. You better give me that fucking shot, Zack Snyder. And this is the kind of thing where it's like, if why not show me shots like that? Because I'm almost positive he's going to give us that. Because he is that good with visuals, and he loves the comics enough that, at least the visuals of them, to give us that. Cyborg, like, again, the Cyborg stuff looks cool. We're getting stuff we had never seen, obviously, before. I'm not a big fan of that Cyborg suit, even with Zack's version of it. And I think that was probably the Justice League was picked up on whatever Zack's designs for that suit are. I really hope that Cyborg is much more integral to the story. I think that was such a missed opportunity. Like, I heard Mark Bernard in the Fat Man Beyond show said, like, why wasn't he one of the mother boxes? Like, that would have been fucking perfect. Tie him in to the story a lot deeper. Darkseid maybe captures him, brings him to Apocalypse, shit like that. Who knows? He might get that. I don't know. Again, Steppenwolf underwater looks metal as shit. I love the visuals of Aquaman, and I'm really excited to see that. So, like, all right. Before I start criticizing again, the metal beams, like, coming out of Superman's head with the black suit, holy shit. Like, how many times is that going to get rewound? People are going to, Zack Snyder, I will bow to you for that visual right there. I also loved in one of the shots, I think it was in a magazine or something, and somebody had done, like, a still shot of, if you really look at Superman, like, on pause, when he has the red, when he shoots the red laser beams, it, like, you can see the source of it almost, like, behind his eyes. So, like, the balls, it's almost like these balls of heat behind his eyeballs glow through, and, like, his skin, like, it glows through his skin, and you just see, that was so badass. Like, I've never seen that in animation. Conceptually, whoever came up with that, be it Zack Snyder, whoever, that looked fucking gorgeous. But this is what I had said in, you know, going through some of the shots leading up to the dun, 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 which, you know, I'm not fully sarcastic about. I thought they were badass. But what did I say here? Like I said in my story rant, 4 hours isn't a movie, it's assembly finished. Oh, I said trailers also don't mean shit. BVS trailer was great. Suicide Squad was one of the best trailers I've ever seen. And, well, I forgot to mention that. Oh, so this is what I meant to say. You know, this just kind of seems like more of the same, unfortunately. I think, like, a lot of the super slow-mo stuff. I know it's new footage. I'm not trying to act like it's not. I worry that, once again, it's just like a lot of slow-mo music video stuff that isn't really going to come together. So I said, am I missing something? Like, I don't see what. And that's my criticism of this trailer. And again, I know this is a trailer. It's not the movie yet. But I think they could have made a way better trailer. Like, this doesn't, to me, give me... If I wasn't a fan of, which I'm not, really, of the Zack Snyder, BVS, and Man of Steel, I don't see how this is supposed to kind of sell me. And even the regular Justice League movie, I don't see, like, what in this trailer gives me more than... Because from what I remember, the trailer to Justice League to the Justice League wasn't... I don't know. I don't remember. Somebody chime in here on chat, like... Were people predicting that was going to be bad based on that trailer? Was that trailer giving people a bad taste in the mouth? This doesn't give me more. So here's my next criticism. Batman still looks fat. Like, I hear it's because he wasn't brought in for reshoots. Don't quote me on that. But so maybe that's why. But like, or maybe he was. I don't know. But he does not look slim enough. Or just, I know he's not supposed to be slim, but dude looks fat. I don't get it. Like, why did you not... So does that mean that that was based on... Because people said, well, he wasn't in shape when he came in for the Joss Whedon reshoots. Well, if that's true, then I thought the Joss Whedon stuff isn't in this. So why does Batman still look... the nicer criticism is puffy. Looks like Fat Man to me. Look, I'm not a god myself here, body-wise, but, like, the dude fights crime for a living. Like, why doesn't he look better? He looked... All right, so our boy here. This is exciting, I will admit. Like, this... Batman. Yeah, man. Jared Leto Joker. Like, way better Joker. When the pictures of this were posted to Instagram in black and white, him and what's probably Arkham, I'm in. Like, he looked... I was not a fan of... I made a joke before about... Suicide Squad, I was not a fan of, I'm gonna hurt you real bad. That whole, I mean, conceptually, sure, I'll go with you if it's like, this is a guy who grew up on the streets of Gotham and he's a gangster, he's a gangbanger, he's, you know, fine. That's why you got the grill and the tattoos and like, I'll go with it. But this looks like, especially if you're doing Jared Leto Joker, he's such a, like, for lack of a better term, beautiful man. He's like a really... good-looking dude. I thought they were going to go more kind of feminine with him, almost like in Dark Knight Returns when he's putting the lipstick on. I mean, that is very much a kind of feminine take. And I think some Grant Morrison versions of him, he's literally like wearing a dress and almost kind of doing like a creepy, you know, cross-dressing, like, feminine version of the Joker. And I'm not saying this is that, but like, I think the long hair, I just think this looks perfect for Jared Leto. Like, I don't think Jared Leto gangbanger. I think Jared Leto long hair creep. This is his voice is different. Like, this to me is Jared Leto Joker. This is it. I might be most excited for this out of all the stuff. I don't know how I feel about him being in the nightmare sequence, although I'm a little intrigued because it looks like he's rocking a gun. He's wearing a SWAT vest and he's got a gun across his lap. Like, if that nightmare sequence is, because what it looks like is a potential reality and that Bruce is probably trying to prevent, and they're going to maybe bring Flash into it to do some kind of Flashpoint thing of, because in that nightmare sequence in BVS, he's like, it Flash comes into that nightmare, K nightmare at the end, and at the end of the beginning, whenever, and he's like, Lois Lane is the key, whatever. That to me seemed Flashpoint-esque of like, at least insofar as you need Flash to prevent this, you know, hellscape from actually coming about. And, you know, I didn't have a problem in that nightmare sequence with Batman killing people, because, again, this is like, it looks like this dystopic future that he's trying to prevent. So whatever, like, I went with it there. He's wearing a different suit. Look, if it's like a buddy cop slash buddy SWAT, buddy SWAT, Joker Batman in that reality... fucking I'm in, dude. Like, if Joker is, you know, he needs him to be some kind of sick tactician in some way, and he gives him some, because it doesn't look like, at first I thought he was in a straitjacket, but he's wearing the SWAT vest and with the gun across his lap. Like, there's no way if Batman had him captured he'd give him a gun. I'm in, dude. Like, nightmare. And this is where, again, it's like Zack Snyder, if he had just given me the beginning of what is it? What did I say before? The beginning of Man of Steel with like that sick Art Deco liquid metal shit. I think that would have been way better than the Man of Steel. If we had just gotten a nightmare movie with Batman Joker, Buddy SWAT, K Nightmare, fucking, I'm in, dude. Just give me like a 20-minute music video of that. I'm all about it now. But the rest of this, again, I want to like... a Justice League movie. I don't want to hate it, and again, that's okay that I might not like this movie.
It shouldn't change your feelings about me as a human being, and hopefully maybe, you know, I am just fanning the flames and extrapolating too much and thinking too negatively based on what, you know, what's been leading up to this. But I do have a fear that a lot of the when I started podcasting years ago and writing for that site, I hesitated even getting into DC because there was so much kind of hate with the live action crowd about DC. I know way more about animation anyway and kind of find it more interesting anyway. So that worked out for me, and you know, you've seen my path thus far with all my interests. And I'm not knocking live action for the sake of knocking it. I was obsessed with, you know, the Nolan films and way more live action leading up to my kind of resurgence into getting into DC, you know, the past couple of years. But like, I'm not hating the shit for the sake of hating it. I really am not. But I just feel like hopefully this controversy, I'm worried though that this controversy is going to start, because it already has a little bit. It's like, oh, haters, check this out. It's like, why can't I just hate it? But again, maybe I'm part of the problem. Who knows? Look, it hasn't come out. It's a trailer. I think that, like, if I was misled in a bad way of the trailer being good for BVS and then not liking the movie, maybe this is, I think, a not great trailer that is going to be for a good movie. And maybe I'll like all 4 hours. And maybe, you know, Comic Collectors Guild made a good point. Like, if people could sit through 3.5 hours of Titanic in the theater, look, at home, it's not that big a deal. And it is different. If you're watching something at home, it's different. I don't want to talk myself in circles, but once again, it's still not going to change the unit of storytelling that is a movie. whatever. I'm just trying to stay positive here. Anyway, that is my reaction to Zack Snyder's Justice League, the Snyder Cut trailer. Again, comes out 3/18, day after St. Paddy's Day. Once again, if you're new here at the channel, please consider subscribing on YouTube. Click that notification bell so you don't miss any of our new content. And for the podcast listeners, please subscribe to the pod. You can find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And for both the pod and the YouTube audience, please consider subscribing to both, since there's plenty of YouTube stuff you're obviously not going to get on the podcast, and vice versa. Please also follow us on Instagram. We are at Batman Beyond Media, and we do frequent polls and Q's and A's, which we also bring into the YouTube and podcast shows, so be sure to follow us there as well. So I have been Benjamin David. This has been another installment of Live Action Live. Let us know how you feel about it. Thank you so much for participating in Comic Collectors Guild and my co-host Eli Benson from Above and Batman Beyond. Follow him on Instagram at Batman_Beyond_fanpage. And in about an hour, if not 30 minutes, maybe sooner, I am hopping onto another live chat on our Instagram at Batman Beyond Media that I just mentioned. And I'm going to do the another trail reaction, actually, to the Justice Society World War II trailer for our DC animated movie show. So if you're into the DC animated movies, again, subscribe here at the channel. There's going to be a bunch of stuff you're not going to find on the podcast, but we do have our DC animated movie show podcast, and the audio for me going live tonight is going to be on that podcast. So again, I have been Benjamin David. This has been Live Action Live, telling you to go above and Batman Beyond.
New episodes of Above and Batman Beyond drop every Wednesday. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on iTunes. Once again, for each new iTunes review, we'll read your review on the show. You're automatically entered in our next Beyond giveaway. Beside Apple Podcasts, you can also find the show on Spotify and SoundCloud. Again, we spend most of our time these days on YouTube, new videos every Sunday and Wednesday. Please consider subscribing there as well for frequent breakdowns of Batman Beyond, podcast clips, as well as our DC animated movie show on the channel. Just like the podcast, we are Above and Batman Beyond on YouTube. Our podcast theme music is by Exsanguinator. Our podcast art is by Courtney DeLenn Slater over at CDS Graphics. Above and Batman Beyond is part of the CBI Network at Comic Book INTL on all social media. Our show's co-hosts are Eli Benson and Benjamin David. The podcast is produced and edited by me, Benjamin David. And Above and Batman Beyond is a production of Benjamin David Studios. Above and Batman Beyond is not an official production of Warner Brothers or DC Entertainment. The thoughts and opinions shared by the participants of this podcast are theirs and theirs alone, and therefore do not represent the companies or organizations they happen to work for.